Gracious God, as we worship you with the preached word, we are humble before your sight and really cry out, each of us, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, for the clarity and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe on us afresh with new life and new hearing, and confirm your word. And Father, may your word be our rule. O Holy Spirit, anoint us, please, and be our guide. And always may your greater glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be our supreme concern in all of life and ministry and mission through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the year was 1953. H.M., suffering severely from epilepsy, underwent brain surgery. And in the course of the operation, the doctor in this brain surgery cut away most of the temporal lobes of this man's brain, who was known as H.M., to protect his privacy, and also penetrated deeply into his limbic system in the brain. And as a result of this surgery, H.M. lost his ability to remember. He could remember everything up to the time of 1953 when he went under the knife. But coming out of the surgery, he couldn't remember anything. From that day onward, his mind was a total blank. Every time you saw him, you had to reintroduce yourself to him because he couldn't remember your name or who you were. He could not leave his house because he could not remember what his house looked like or where he lived, and he was unable to find his way home. Indeed, anytime he sought out any particular room in the house or drawer or article in his home, he had to go look for it like it was the first time ever because he couldn't remember anything. Couldn't work because he couldn't remember anything to hold a job. And so he would sit and cry a lot in frustration and rage, anger, and disbelief. Now, what you see automatically there instantly is memory is such a great gift to us. To be deprived of memory is to be deprived of one of life's richest treasures, because memory, you see, is that one highway by which we might return to yesterday. Someone has said that memory is that faculty that can actually give you roses in December when there are no flowers to be found anywhere. So memory, so very, very important, so greatly needed by us all, and we can have the ministry of a good memory. The Bible encourages us that for ourselves and for reaching out and blessing others. And by this, I mean a memory which not just remembers, of course, but remembers predominantly the good things. That's what I want to talk to you about in this sermon of the Word of God, how we can give God our memories so that God the Holy Spirit, in turn, through the blessings which memory is, can give us peace and power for his glory in our lives, and a certain peace and power for ministry in reaching out to others, as we ought to do in Jesus, to bless the society and this world of which Jerry referred to is minimizing truth and really needs the blessings of Christian people. So I want to do that by going to our sermon series under We'll Get By With a Little Help From Our Heroes. And our heroes today, our hero is Jacob, but he's kind of a reverse hero for us, because we're going to look at where Jacob failed in his memory and where he kind of messed up in his memory. And when we see how Jacob messed up, we're going to flip it around and say, we don't want to do that. Here's what we want to do. And that's what we want to see. So let's seek God's grace right now for the living of our days with good memories by taking a look at Jacob as the man who forgot to remember. Jacob, the man who forgot to remember, and the first thing he forgot to remember was the right end of the telescope, to look through the correct end of the telescope. You may recall that the sons of Papa Jacob here, they went out and ganged up on their brother Joseph, right? They beat him up, they sold him into slavery, then they took his coat, We read, and the Bible tells us they soaked it in the blood of a slaughtered goat. They tore that coat a bit, took it home to their father, Jacob. And when Jacob saw it, he immediately assumed, quite incorrectly, but naturally, of course, he assumed that Joseph had been killed by a wild beast. And from that day on, for the next decade, Jacob never ceased to mourn Joseph, his supposedly dead son. Now, Jacob's other sons and daughters came and they tried to comfort him, but he refused their comfort. God's word records what Jacob said to them. Hear God's word, Genesis 37, 35. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "No, I shall go down to Sheol to my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now note, for the next 22 years, Papa Jacob mourned his son Joseph, 22 years holding on to a memory of a very sad loss. Think about that. I mean, in my mind's eye, I can see some sad, shadowed corner of Jacob's tent where he keeps a kind of chest, right? A wooden chest. And every day the old man goes into that shadowed corner and opens up that chest and reaches down into the depths of that chest and pulls out that old blood-stained coat. And he holds it in his hands and wets it again and again with his tears of grief and mourning, so that now the coat is much more stained with the wet of tears than it ever was stained with the wet of blood. And that's very sad, to see a man enter into such sadness over something which in point of fact was not even true. Now, he didn't know that, but he mourned Joseph, and Joseph was not even dead, and that memory of a bitter loss defined him in his days for 22 years. Compare, on the other hand, the conduct of King David when David received word that his baby son had died. It is recorded in God's sacred word that David rose up, washed himself, put on clean clothes, and went into the house of God and worshiped the Lord, and said to all those assembled, "My son cannot come to me, but I in time will go to be with him." Now you see, the difference between David and Jacob is this. Jacob made the mistake of focusing upon the immediate instead of the ultimate. When you look through the wrong end of the telescope, everything narrows and becomes small. And that's exactly what Jacob did. David, on the other hand, looking through the right end of the telescope, understands the death of his son in terms of the total plan of the goodness of God. He does not focus only upon the tragedy. He seeks to see the tragedy in terms of all the other things which God is seeking to do in his life, and which a good God is doing right now in your life and my life. And he sees the place of this incident in the total scheme of things and doesn't narrow through the wrong end of the telescope. I remember doing that as a little boy and everything shrunk in size. So for him, it becomes not that which is bitter. That loss of his son is not that which breaks his heart into the immobilization of his life in grief, not that which leads him into decades of mourning, but instead, it leads him into a further understanding and expression of God's goodness moving in his life. That's the invitation for us. You see, what we have to do when you and I encounter incidents of frustration and bitterness, and we all do, when we bump into the incidents that break our hearts, we should seek always to relate those incidents to our total experience of God's goodness. Not to look at them through the wrong end of the telescope by which we see them only in their narrow, isolated impact, but see them in terms of the total plan of God, of God's goodness, which is relentless on all of our lives. And maybe I can illustrate this a little bit by Salvador Dali, the great Spanish painter and artist. Salvador Dali went to this formal dinner gathering, and here at the table, one fella took out a cigar and was smoking a cigar at this gathering, and the cigar ash fell on this very expensive damask tablecloth, and it burned a hole in the tablecloth, of which the owner and the hostess of the home was very distressed and very upset. And Salvador Dali, without wasting a moment, took out a bunch of pens from his coat pocket, and he began to take that tablecloth and draw on it. And he drew a magnificent picture on it in such a way that that burned cigar hole and the cigar ashes, you know, whatever, they were an integral part of this. And the lady realized now that because of what he did, Salvador Dali, the tablecloth was worth much more now than it had been a moment ago without his drawing on it. And just so, we are to learn from the declaration of the authoritative truth of God's absolute word written of revelation that what happens to us should be seen in terms of God's drawing in our lives. It's a sovereign picture of God's good, loving providence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, whatever happens to us. And do we not think here of the great possibilities that are offered to us through the Word of God? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. All these things, high and low, abundance and want. And Romans 8:28, which we read, and we know that for those who love God, you do, through Jesus, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. God's called you into the servanthood of His kingdom. So we must see things, all things, yes, see them, but see them through the right end of the telescope of God's divine goodness. Let's think of Papa Jacob again. The reason the sons of Jacob didn't like Joseph was because Papa Jacob had spent so much time with Joseph, and in the words of some people, little Joseph was spoiled rotten by his papa, who indulged him, and the brothers resented him for it. Now, Joseph, the son of the favor of the papa, is gone, taken out of the family, and here is a wonderful opportunity for Papa Jacob to give himself to the loving of his other sons, to give them the affection and the regard that was withheld from them when Joseph was around, but it doesn't happen. And that kind of good could have happened out of the experience, but instead, for the next 22 years, Jacob was remembering something which he had isolated and focused upon until it became ugly and hurtful and heartbreaking, the wrong end of the telescope, focusing on the immediate instead of the ultimate. So the first thing we have to remember when you and I are seeking to make good memories is never to focus upon the immediate, but always to have in mind the ultimate, which is the providential goodness of God, sovereignly over all of your lives, mine too, and over our church. That's the right way to look through the end of the telescope, the right end for the Christian life. Now, the second thing to notice about Papa Jacob is that Jacob forgot to remember that there are more than dandelions in the lawn of life. Here's what I mean by this, and this really happened. These American tourists went to Switzerland, and when they were in Switzerland, their guide, who had planned this whole thing, had them get up before dawn, while it was still dark, to go out into a meadow that was at the foot of Swiss Alps, and to watch the sun coming over the Alps as the day dawned upon them. And so they did that, and there they are, and it's dark, and for a moment there's just this tinge of ashen gray, and then a pink light, no vermilion, of course. That's a joke, sorry. It was a pink light that settled over everything. And then orange, right? And then a blinding yellow light, and finally the whiteness of the day began, and it spilled down. Can you see this? Over the stone pinnacles and peaks of the stunning Alps, and it cascaded, poured into the valleys, and washed right up to their feet. And just as this magic moment is upon them and it reached to their feet, they're all caught up in the beauty and the awe of it. And one of the people in the group stomps his feet and says loudly, "Dandelions. There are dandelions in my front lawn at home. And there are dandelions in my backyard at home. And there are dandelions in this meadow in Switzerland. Dandelions." Well, well, well. What do you think? Is that any way to look at a sunrise over the Swiss Alps? That's no way to look at a sunrise, and it's no way to look at life. It's no way to remember things. But it was precisely that mistake, you see, which Jacob was making. His first mistake was to focus on the immediate instead of the ultimate, the wrong end of the telescope. His second mistake was then to take that sadness which he had focused upon and make it the very center of his memories, dandelions. His first mistake was to aim himself in the wrong direction, and his second mistake was to pursue that direction with everything he had. He was, you see, so caught up in remembering Joseph's death that he forgot all about Joseph's life and about the opportunities that life still had for him after Joseph was gone, and for his family. You know, there used to be a restaurant in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, my hometown. It was called the Purple Cow, and it was in the Roosevelt Hotel. And the Purple Cow restaurant, you don't remember much about it, but it did have this sign on the wall. And that sign said, "As you travel through life, brother, whatever be your goal, keep your eye upon the donut and not upon the hole." Jacob's Papa Jacob, your problem is that you're looking at the hole in the donut, and it's all you can see. You know, one of the things they say, or were saying, I mean, it keeps changing, the plasticity of the brain and all this stuff, but supposedly the mind never forgets anything, and it's like a giant computer that sees everything, digital files, and gathers them. And Dr. Wilder Penfield, who's on the staff of McGill University Hospital in Canada, he had to operate on a teenage girl, and she had to be awake for this operation so they could do it properly. And he sent down a galvanic probe into the temporal cortex of her brain, and then gently sent down electrical impulses, and as he would move that around, she would instantly be thrown back into a memory in such a way that she thought it was actually happening at that very moment, vividly. And that was the beginning of research that's gone on for some time about the brain being a digital recorder. All of it's taped up here, probably not all mine, but all yours. We can't recall it all at a moment's notice, of course. But that means, in a sense, we can't forget anything. But it does not mean that we can't choose those of our memories on which we wish to dwell. It does not mean that under the guise and shield of the Word of God that we can't pick out from our experience of the past those which we wish to hold on and emphasize. Every one of us can choose whether we're going to spend our time thinking about the donut or the hole. Me, I just think about donuts, period. Or whether we're going to think about the Swiss Alps sunrise or the backyard dandelions. What's it going to be? God's Word tells you in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brothers, finally, sisters, hear the Word of God. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Why is it then that so many people wish to dwell on the ugly? Exhibit A, the man who belongs to the church, and one day the minister preaches a sermon which offends him, and he leaves the church, and he never comes back again, and he forgets all the other sermons that blessed his heart, And he forgets all the sacred hours at the table of the Lord's Supper and Holy Communion. He forgets the fellowship of the brothers and sisters, which is so precious to us, is it not, when we're back here gathered again. He forgets all that his children have found in the church school, and he focuses on that ugliness moment, and he throws all the rest of the way, and that's going for the whole and not the donut. Exhibit B, two elders in the church who across the course of the years have developed trust and friendship, common concerns. And then one incident of ugliness enters into the life that they share. And that incident is dwelt upon until it grows all out of proportion. And two people who were friends aren't friends anymore. And when they think about each other, instead of thinking of all the goodness which has been theirs together in history, they throw it out and they focus not upon that, but upon the crusty, dried, broken, stale bread moment, which they let now define their future. That's looking at the whole and not at the donut. Exhibit C, the professor or the dean or the president of the school that makes a decision that someone doesn't like, and that student or that faculty forgets all the other gains, forgets all the other progress over the years of the institution, and focuses on that one thing that they disagreed on. And that's looking at the dandelions instead of the morning sunrise over the mountains. Can I say this with impact? Can I say this with volume? Hold your ears. For the sake of the glory of God, and for the sake of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the sake of the peace of your own soul, get rid of that bloody coat. Throw it out of the chest of your mind. It's already soaked with blood. Why soak it with bile? And when I travel like you, I take iPhone pictures, and some of them are good, and some of them are real clinkers, but I keep them all, but I only show you the best. The pictures I show you are the gems. Oh, that's so balanced artistically, Jeff. I know, thank you. But don't you think that philosophy with regard to our pictures ought to be our Christian philosophy with regards to our memories for the glory of God? Preserve the best, discard the rest. Kind of like the king in Through the Looking Glass, he said, Oh, that was a horrible experience, and I shall never be able to forget it, never, ever forget it. Whereupon the wise queen responds, oh, yes, you will forget it, unless, of course, you make a memorandum of it. Don't make memorandums about the things that are ugly. Live in the light and in the love of that Philippian passage. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is honorable, just, pure, lovely, think about these things. These are the things about which we are to think. And when we build these things into our lives and into our family, our church culture, then even smack dab in the dead of winter, we have roses in December because of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly and lastly, Jacob's third mistake was that he forgot to remember that God never goes off duty, that the goodness and faithfulness of God in your life because of Jesus Christ never goes off duty. I think it's interesting to notice in the 45th chapter of Genesis that even when the brothers return and tell Jacob that his son Joseph is alive, Papa Jacob doesn't believe them. Papa Jacob doesn't believe them until he sees the wagons. And when he sees the wagons, his confidence rises now in the goodness of God. And he believes that his son is alive. And with that belief, joy is part of experience once more. You know, there's something very sad about that. I think it's very sad that it took wagons to prove to Papa Jacob that God is good. I mean, isn't God's word enough? All the earlier grace of God, which Jacob had experienced in his life, shouldn't that be sufficient? Was it really necessary that there had to be wagons? I mean, what evidence does anybody offer to prove that God ever goes off duty in our lives, saved, sanctified, sanitized through Jesus Christ? Why do we always have to be reconvinced? Mark this and mark it well. A very important memory to have is that of the faithfulness of God. If you want to hold on to a memory, hold on to that one. If you wish an illustration of the importance of this, I can point you to a dramatic one, and that between Judas and Peter. Judas betrays Christ and goes out and remembers his sin and hangs himself. Peter denies Christ three times terribly and goes out and remembers his Savior, and his life is transformed. One remembers the sin, the other remembers the Savior. Peter remembers that God never goes off duty. He remembers the goodness and faithfulness of God. And does not God want to be remembered like that in your life, in mine? I would respectfully remind us that our Lord Jesus Christ instituted only one act of memorial for us to observe, the act of Holy Communion. And at the very center of this act of Holy Communion are these words, "This do in remembrance of me." We need to remember the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. You know, H.G. Wells said once that people make three mistakes with regard to their memories. First, inexact receptions. Two, faulty storage. And three, poor recall. The first is focusing upon the immediate instead of the ultimate, the wrong end of the telescope, inexact reception. The second is collecting dandelions instead of sunrises, donut holes instead of donuts. That's faulty storage. And the third is forgetting the faithfulness of God, and that's poor recall. So I want to ask you this morning, as we're about to come to the table of the Lord, what kind of memories are you making? What kind of treasure are you storing up in that head of yours? Well, I cannot let you go without sharing with you a personal memory. Then we'll come to the table, okay? Back in the fall of 1969, at the University of Pittsburgh, I was a senior then at Pitt, and I went with some football buddies of mine to the Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall to hear the Four Seasons sing their hits. Live, the Four Seasons, Frankie Valli, right? They were very popular then. Well, they sang through those hits, you know, "Sherry, Sherry Baby," "Big Girls Don't Cry," "You're Just Too Good to Be True," "Can't Take My Eyes Off of You." And then they came to "Walk Like a Man." And here I am with my football buddies, right? And they're singing, and it becomes infused with energy. And Frankie Valli, and he said, "Walk like a man, talk like a man, walk like a man, my son. No woman's worth crawling on the earth. So walk like a man, my son." And you know the part. Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, ooh-wee. Well, you get the picture. Well, we guys got lost in that rockin' musical moment of our aspiring manhood and footballness, and it seemed like every guy in the audience was captured with this "walk like a man, talk like a man" thing. And you looked around, and in that magic moment, and you looked on the stage, and there was Frankie Valli with his high voice. Wee! You know, he was alive. He was aglow with emotions and meaning that surged out over the stage. And his face was that of enthrallment with the words of "walk like a man." And the music just soared up and out over us football players, over the whole place. And we all started singing, "Walk like a man, talk like a man." I'm sure that as I look back over that memory now, I romanticize it a bit. You think? But I mention it because there's another face, not of Frankie Valli and not of my fellow football players, another face which I do not romanticize at all. There's a face with which I have purposefully crowded my memories with that face. There's a face which pulls my life together and lifts up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. There's a face that, because it's part of my yesterdays, is also part of my todays, my right now. There's a face that sometimes hurts you to heal you. And that face that sets your heart to singing. And in the moments when you yield to that face, it fills your life with music. That face is the face of your Savior, the mighty Lord Jesus Christ. And because he's yours in salvation memory, he's yours today, and he's yours in the darkest and coldest nights of your soul. And don't you think for a moment that we don't all have those. But because of Jesus, you and I can still and always come back and start looking through the right end of the telescope. We can see sunrises instead of dandelions. We can see donuts instead of donut holes. And we can know a faithfulness divine that will glorify the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in you and in me and in our church by never letting us go, because he is good and he is faithful. And this we shall not forget to remember as we take this bread and this juice, and we do it in remembrance of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, with the intentionality of good memories. Pray with me. Dear Father, we pray that this sacred time of the very dynamic presence of Jesus over the bread and over the juice will be a time of instilling righteous memories within us and absolving and cleansing and washing away those memories that intrude with bitterness and coats of blood and even bile. Cleanse us, O Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for so great a gift of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.